YT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Have you been thinking about what you ate last week for Thanksgiving and maybe feeling a little guilty? Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling in studio. You don't want us to feel guilty, do you, Jennifer?
I really don't, actually.
Because it's not really helpful, is it?
I believe that it is not helpful at all. Yes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that they go way beyond. I mean, we talk about body image. We talk about eating disorders. We talk about, you know, how do people feel about themselves? And today we're going to cover a lot of topics. We're going to talk about recovering from the holidays and kind of asking the proverbial question, or do we even need to? We're going to be talking about fad diets and what people have done in the past, you know, couple years. There's always a new thing. I don't know how often.
Pretty often.
Pretty often.
Yeah.
Are they really that different? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about intuitive eating, which is kind of a concept that you've come up with. I mean, it's not new, but it's directional and it's focused, and I like it. We're going to talk a little bit about how your faith should influence how you eat. And, you know, that's one of the things I like about Jennifer. Jennifer's nourishnutritioncounseling.com has a ton of helpful information. If you go to helpful tools on that page, you can even download some really good recipes, which I've done.
They're good, right?
And my kids will tell you that they like the food that I've cooked that's from your recipes, and that's a lot of fun. In fact, last time you were on here just a couple weeks ago, you were on with my daughter Abby and her mom Sandy, and we talked a little bit about a gluten-free banana bread recipe, and I got to get that to you.
I was going to say.
I still haven't gotten that recipe. I think I can get it.
Good. That would be great.
And I tell you right now, you cannot tell. You know, gluten-free recipes sometimes taste a little different, maybe a little crunchier, maybe not as moist in terms of breads and those kind of things. But this one you cannot tell. I mean, they really did a good job on it. It's a lot of fun. So let's get started. What about people that are still thinking about what they ate last week and regretting it?
Yeah, I love this question. And I was thinking about this a lot earlier in the year when I started my Facebook group. It's called Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. And it's a free just online group.
Is that a Facebook group or a faith book group?
I guess it's both.
That's right.
But anyway, I developed it because it's a wonderful way to connect like-minded Christians together who are interested in being healthy, but want to do it in a way that honors God. Right. And so I developed this Facebook group and somebody asked the question. This was back in maybe May. She said, I just found myself when I'm hungry and I reach for a snack, feeling guilty about it. And she said, should I feel guilty about it? And I said, well, that's a really interesting question. And so I spent some time really thinking about each step in that process. First of all, where are her feelings of guilt coming from? Second of all, is there any validity to those feelings of guilt, right? So was there an actual sin that was apparent in this situation? And so taking some time to kind of ask those questions, and then obviously if there was something that she did wrong, there's freedom in that, right? Like that's why we have Christ. And so the progression of, you know, feeling guilty, understanding what you did and why, and if it was in fact sinful or not, and then taking those feelings and putting them next to the gospel, which is ultimately that gives us freedom, right? So, you know, in the nutrition world, I hear people talking all the time about, well, you just have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself, right? And I have a wonderful friend, Gina, who we might talk about here in a minute. And she said to me, you know, Jennifer, I don't think that's quite right. We don't forgive ourselves. What we do is we accept the forgiveness that God gives us.
Amen.
I know. I thought, oh my gosh, that is so good. So I think that's an important part of this conversation when we're talking about feeling guilty or feeling shame around food. We really want to kind of dig deep and ask more questions. And so in this article, it's published on my website. It's entitled Freedom from Guilt and Shame. And it just kind of goes through my thought process about thinking about these concepts and how to ask the questions and how to really get to the bottom of it. And then getting rid of those feelings of guilt and accepting the forgiveness that Jesus gives us.
You know, Jennifer, you've talked about the gospel. You've talked about the Bible and God. But I think a lot of us read rules for dieting and somehow we think those have medical basis.
Right.
Or maybe they are the gospel, maybe not according to the word of God, but they're the gospel medically. And that's so wrong many times.
It is. Well, and I think so many of our feelings of guilt that revolve around food are actually based on arbitrary rules of whatever fad diet we decided we should follow. And we broke a rule and we feel guilty. And there was actually no reason to feel guilty about that decision. So I think we have to kind of take a step back, look objectively at the situation and looking at, okay, what food rules have I put in place for myself, or what food rules am I following that are actually helpful for me? And then which ones are causing me to maybe have those feelings of guilt and shame? Or, you know, even worse, we've talked about this sometimes. So often when we put restrictions in place, we end up going off off the other end, and we say, well, forget it. You know, those restrictions actually cause us to want to eat more. And so that can be problematic too.
I'm thinking of an application based on past shows we've done with you, and that's the low fat prepared meals that we can buy all the time. Some people think, oh, we eat too much fat. We should eat low fat. So we start buying all these prepared meals that say low fat. Mm-hmm. And you've taught us that normally means, yeah, there may be less fat, but there's a whole bunch more sugar.
Yeah.
So you not really accomplished what you had intended to accomplish. And here's the thing that's confusing for a lot of people too, and me too, is I just read some articles about fats. Like I've read about vegetable oils and all these different things, mm-hmm. and I'm hearing that a lot of people are having illnesses because they don't have saturated fat in their diet. Mm-hmm. They're having nerve issues. They're having all kinds of things. So it's hard to discern what's even true.
It is true. We talk about it saying that there's a lot of quote-unquote nutrition noise on the internet, right? So you can basically prove whatever point or whatever diet you're trying to prove with, there are studies to support everything, basically. So, you know, I always tell people to think about, okay, if it sounds like something totally new that you've never heard before, that's a red flag. Okay. Nutrition knowledge hasn't really changed very much over the last 30, 40 years. Number two, you always want to look at, okay, where is this information coming from? And are they trying to sell me something?
Yeah.
That's a big red flag, right? Because a lot of marketing right now is based on sort of half-truths, where they'll present to you what looks like very good scientific information. And there might be some truth behind it, but it's not 100% true. And really, they're just trying to sell you, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. So we have to be really careful about what we're believing and what we're reading and what we're looking at. And so if it's something you've heard that's new, or if it's something that sounds too good to be true, those are both red flags.
If you're listening now and you'd like to call us and talk to Jennifer, our number is 505-338-5790. I think so many times people will listen and think to themselves, I hope they talk about this.
Uh-huh.
And I'd rather you just call and ask Jennifer. We do have a prepared agenda, but man, we can deviate from that. And we'll talk about your question the whole rest of the show. We're flexible. We feel like the Lord has put Jennifer here to minister to us and to encourage us. And so much of what you're talking about doesn't just have to do with food.
Yeah. Well, and that's like the whole Bible, right? It should inform every area of our lives, including nutrition, right? And I think sometimes we tend to compartmentalize areas of our life, right? And the clients I'm working with, they cannot believe how much the Bible relates to their decisions with food. And it's not so much what you're eating, but it's more how you're eating. That's how I always describe it. The Bible doesn't give us a prescription for a particular diet or what we should be eating, but it does tell us what our posture should be behind our food decisions and how we treat our bodies. And so that's the piece that I like to focus on. And when we focus on the motivations and the why behind why we're doing what we're doing, the rest of it kind of falls into place.
Have you had clients that have been trying to eat a certain way? And I'll use the proverbial Jennifer Bryant cuss word, diet. That is a four-letter word to Jennifer. It absolutely is.
Yes.
Have you had clients that have been on diets for, let's say, 5 years or more? And it's the old, you keep doing the same old thing over and over and expect a different result. And then you get them and go, you could change it just by making these adjustments.
Right. It's so funny you say that, Jim. I was on my walk this morning, and usually on my walk, I think about, okay, what's happening in my day? So I was thinking about the radio show today, and I was thinking, okay, what do people need to hear, especially with like the new year coming up, right? And I see this over and over and over again. And it's usually more like 20 to 40 years people have been on these diets. Mm. Okay. And
that is real insanity, by the way.
I know. And that's exactly, I had this exact thought on my walk. What is the definition of insanity?
And I'm not saying that to insult anybody, because
no.
I resemble that statement.
Absolutely.
I'm saying it to say you can be free from that.
Exactly. And I think what needs to happen is, in our minds, the first step in all of this is actually one of the first intuitive eating principles, which, by the way, I did not come up with. I just adopted it into my practice. What I did come up with is a version of that, which I call intentional eating, which incorporates biblical concepts. But the intuitive eating principles are amazing. And so I absolutely support the principles. But number one for intuitive eating is to reject the diet mentality. And the first thing we have to do is we have to stop believing that the next diet is going to fix us. We have to stop believing that. If we continue to believe that, we're going to continue trying diet after diet. They all are similar in the fact that they restrict what or how much we eat. And then what happens is they switch it up just a little bit so that you think that you're trying something new, and you're not. It's the same thing over and over again. And we know, and we've talked about this, we just know that diets don't work long term. And so if we know this, and probably many of our listeners even know this personally, if we know that they don't work, why do we keep going back to them? Why do we keep doing the same thing over and over? And so with all of my clients, I encourage them to really embrace change.
Do we not do the same thing, though? Again, faith should inform everything in our life. We do the same thing in our marriages.
Yes.
We do our same, we spend money that we shouldn't spend.
Yep.
We just have these habits.
We do.
And we need to be able to identify them objectively. Mm-hmm. There's no self-condemnation. It's just simply going, yeah, God, thanks for letting me know. I'm going to change this now.
Right. I'd like to improve on that. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is such a big aha moment when that happens with somebody, because that's when it's really able, the person is really able to make some good progress at that point.
Jennifer, we're not just talking about weight.
No.
We're talking about reducing inflammation. We're talking about gut health. We're talking about just aspects of your physical health that you may not even be thinking.
Right.
Your skin,
right.
You know, maybe you have a propensity to be allergic to every soap known to man or every type of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
That could all be changed by what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how much we're finding nutrition plays a role in all of our body systems. You know, I was actually just talking with a client this morning that our gut health is has something to do with like 98% of our immune system. So think about this, you know, you whatever, you go off for a week and you eat whatever you want, you eat lots of sugar, you drink some alcohol, you're not eating very healthfully, and you get sick. That happens so often, right?
Yes.
And that's because our gut health plays such a big role in our immune system. And I think, okay, well, what's our ultimate goal? Well, yes, we want to be healthy, right? The Lord calls us to take care of our bodies so that he can use us, right? So the ultimate purpose is not to be healthy, although we do desire that. But our ultimate purpose is to be used by the Lord for whatever he wants to use us for, right? And we can't do that if we're sick.
Yes.
Or if we're tired, or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever ailment is getting us.
And there's other aspects that you talk about. I mean, you can't have a healthy diet and just sit still every day in one place watching TV. You're just not going to be healthy.
Right.
So are we condemning people that have been doing that? Absolutely not. We're just trying to get you up. God has something really special for you that he wants to work in through you.
Right.
And you can't do it on the couch.
Right. I think that's a really, and I think that motivation, Jim, that we're talking about, I mean, that's the foundation for it all. If your motivation is simply to lose weight or simply to look a certain way or fit into a certain dress or pants or whatever, that motivation is not strong enough to carry you long term. So that's really what it starts with, is changing our motivation and making that reflective of what we are taught in the Bible.
We're going to talk more about intuitive eating principles when we come back. Stay with us. Jennifer Bryan in studio. We'll be right back.
Here's John Chitwood with an automotive analogy.
Wouldn't you agree that most people have never even read the small owner's manual that's found in the glove box of all their vehicles? That is because they think they know it already and will only open and read it in a time of an emergency. Sound familiar? There is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. It's God's written word, the Bible. God is the creator and the designer, and in the Bible you will find God's design and purpose for your life and how he made a way of salvation for you and me, that we may have eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Let us remember what David said in Psalm 119, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you."
An automotive analogy with John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, what if you've had a slow leak? Maybe you don't even know it's behind the wall. How dangerous is black mold?
Honestly, it's bigger here than it is anywhere. So my business partner, he ran a company in California for 20 years doing mold mitigation, restoration, flood damage, and that's why we do that here as well. We've done more mold mitigation here in the past 3 years than he's done in 20 years in California.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Absolutely. Thank you to Ben Lucero and his team at Indigo Mortgage. We really appreciate all they do to support the ministry programming here on ABQ Connect. And people like Jennifer Bryant come in and talk to us. Jennifer Bryant is a nutritionist and a certified diabetic educator. She coaches people. Her services are available. All the information is available at nourishnutritioncounseling.com. And she was teaching me how to direct you to, what's the other thing? Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do that? Because I've never been on Instagram. I'm like prehistoric. I know. Go ahead.
So I love Instagram actually because I can use my creativity a little bit, which I don't have. I don't know. Creativity is not my strongest suit.
No, I disagree because you take all the photos of the food
That's
and your
true.
Recipes. They're really good. Well, I mean, they look as good as they taste.
Well, I've grown a lot in that and I have taken some classes to help me learn. I think that's important to always be learning, right? If someone tells me, so I invited this, I go to the YMCA to work out. Mm-hmm. And I invited this other guy he was asking me some questions about nutrition, you know, while I was working out. And so I invited him to my nutrition class. And he says to me, oh, I eat healthy. I don't need that. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, I could talk for a half an hour about probably why he does need this class. But so where I was going with that is I think we can always be learning. I think it is such a travesty when we say that we already know everything. So you can always be learning.
Things have changed. I know you said that a lot of nutrition research hasn't changed that much in the last 20 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. But there are subtle changes and things that happen. And I've even seen things by, you know, government agencies where one minute they're recommending this and the next minute they're recommending that. So you really do need to wade through the information mm-hmm. by obtaining some credible sources.
Yes.
And you write articles. You provide those for free under yep. helpful tools and things. You have a newsletter that's free that you offer mm-hmm. Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health.
Mm-hmm.
I get those. And those articles are very helpful, and you provide those to anybody. And you're not – I will say this. I've been part of that now for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been solicited, nothing. So I want to tell our listeners it's just good, helpful information.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me say a couple of things about that. So when I said nutrition information hasn't changed, that's true. However, we are learning more and more and more. So although it doesn't really change, what we do is we build on the knowledge we have and we also we solidify our recommendations. So maybe that clarifies it a little bit.
So, Jennifer, I'm assuming that let's talk a little bit more about – we talked about intuitive eating and you said the number one rule is to reject the diet mentality.
Right.
So I'm going to switch from intuitive eating to your concept of intentional eating.
Right.
And I guess I need to ask as part of that question, what do we not know about food that makes us eat it without being conscious of what we're doing?
Yeah.
And I've told you. I'll sit down and I noticed the other day that I did this when I'm reading because I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
I would do watch TV a little bit, but not much. But when I'm reading, I'm eating stuff and I don't even know I'm eating it.
Exactly. Yes. You're talking about mindless eating.
Yes.
And I think this is where a lot of our excess food and calories come in. And what happens is when we're mindlessly eating, we aren't thinking about what we're eating. And so we don't get the full satisfaction from it, and we feel like we need to continue eating.
But there is some design.
Yes.
Okay. I always pick on Lay's potato chips because I'm a chipaholic. But there is some design to why people eat so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The food manufacturers are very good at putting together precise combinations of usually sugar, fat, and salt. To make it the most palatable and the most appealing food so that you will keep eating and you will keep buying.
Are there actual addictive qualities to that?
There's some debate about that. If there was an addictive food, we would probably say that sugar is it. And the reason for that is because when we eat sugar, it creates a release of dopamine, which is the feel-good chemical in our brain. And so this is where we get the crashing after we eat the sugar, right? Is those dopamine levels go down again and we feel like we, you know, we crashed. And so sugar is debatable. We kind of say yes and no that sugar could be considered as an addictive food. But food is different in its addictive capacity compared to like drugs and alcohol, right? In a very important way, we do not need drugs or alcohol to survive, but we need food to survive. So in a sense, it's almost easier. I'm putting this in a very abstract concept here, but it's almost easier to beat an addiction with alcohol or drugs because you just get rid of it in your life and you cut it out and, you know, you don't even have a drop, right?
And you're not diminishing that's a tough process.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Exactly.
It's just that you can eliminate that in some way. Whereas you can't eliminate
food. You can't do that with food. And so it's very different. The way we talk about food addiction or sugar addiction is very different than the way we talk about drug or alcohol addiction.
So what are some of the other intentional eating things that you promote when you're working with people?
Yeah, so I think this is obviously a big question. So I'm going to kind of give the flyby overview of what I kind of do with some of my clients, but it's basically marrying the intuitive eating principles with biblical principles. So that's basically what we're doing. So we start with transforming our minds. And so this was a good verse, Jim, that I think you wrote. I don't know if you want to read that.
Sure. Let me do that. It's Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect."
Right. So we start with that whole concept of, as Christians, we need to transform our minds. And so just entering into this journey, I call it a health journey, entering in with a totally different perspective than somebody of the world would.
Well, okay. And I have a question here, but I got to interject it right now.
Go ahead.
Or inject it right now. I don't know which word it is. Sometimes my brain doesn't work well. I think that so many times, Jennifer, we are when we think about transformation and renewing your mind is, if I guess we could understand a computer analogy, good information in, good information out, mm-hmm. bad info in, bad out. So many of us are informing ourselves with bad information.
Right. Right. And so we have to start thinking about it in terms of, how would God want me to treat my body? Okay. And I think I've mentioned this exercise on the radio before, but I have a lot of my clients go through an exercise where they pretend that they were going to move out of their body for a couple of weeks and they were going to leave it in the care of someone else. And they have to write instructions about how they would instruct the person taking care of their body to take care of their body. And people find this so interesting because you end up writing down things that you're not doing for yourself, right? Mm. And so then you get to talk about and you get to think about and meditate on, okay, why am I not taking care of my body in this way that I would instruct someone else to do, you know, to take care of it? And so it's just such a good exercise. But I think we have to shift our perspective to thinking about it the way that God wants us to think about it. And so, you know, we mentioned earlier some, those feelings of guilt and shame and trying to figure out if the action or the thought process behind that guilt was actually sinful. And this part of the process is kind of where you start understanding what sin patterns you might have related to food. And they're on all the different spectrums, right? On one end, we can be apathetic about it, where we just don't care. And we say, whatever. This I find a lot with people who have maybe never had an issue with weight. Mm-hmm. And so they have never really had to worry about it from a cultural perspective. Mm-hmm. And so they just sort of take the, you know, the lazy way out. Or we can go on the other end where we're so concerned about our health that it affects all of our relationships. it affects our day to day in terms of, you know, we're always on a very strict diet. We can never say yes to an invitation for dinner because, you know, we have to eat a certain way. And so there's really both extremes, and we have to just be careful that we don't fall too far one way or the other, because neither one is really pleasing to God.
I was talking with someone that I don't know well a week or so ago. My dad is 89 years old, and he's always taken care of himself, and, you know, he's nearing, you know, end of life. I mean, that's just a fact. And I was talking, they were telling me, unsolicited, oh, yeah, well, your dad ought to be concentrating on eating this and this and that and that. And I don't know why I did this, probably shouldn't have, but I said, well, my dad, I just brought him some really good homemade tamales that a friend of mine makes. Mm-hmm. And this person looked at me like with a gasp, like, oh, you can't eat tamales when you're that old. And I really wanted to say, but I didn't. Really? He's almost 90 years old. He can eat whatever he wants.
Right. Yes, so true. So true. Well, and that's actually, if you find yourself judging other people's food decisions, that's actually a red flag that there's probably something in your heart that is not pleasing to the Lord. And usually it's something prideful. Usually it's, well, I eat this way and this is the best way, and so this is how you should eat. And so that's an interesting thing that I see in my clients and lots of other people that I work with.
Everything you say is extending grace. But I also know that you are a parent, and I don't know more than you, but I've been through the process longer. My kids are all grown up.
You probably do know more than me.
So when we came back, or when we come back, I want to talk to you about, there's a balance when you love somebody, how to help them achieve some of the things they want to help. And there is a little discipline involved, and it's all not warm, fuzzy feelings sometimes. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, will be right back after these messages.
You've heard various radio spots on this station encouraging you to consider attending Calvary College. You may have thought, that's more than I can afford, or I'm not a very good student. I couldn't take on a load like that with my schedule. This is John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho. I'm a teacher's assistant here at Calvary College, and continued education in God's Word is something every Christian should consider. At the very least, a single class each semester is possible to handle by just about anyone. It's affordable, manageable, digestible, and able to equip you to help you and those around you grow in the Lord. You can even audit classes and gain the same knowledge.
Don't talk yourself out of continued education again. Connect with the friendly staff at Calvary College to find the perfect fit for you. John Chitwood did. CalvaryChurchCollege.com is the first step. CalvaryChurchCollege.com.
Coming to your city this holiday season, it's Wren Collective on the Jolly Irish Christmas Extravaganza Tour. Get ready for a fun night of Christmas cheer with Wren Collective, the Jolly Irish Christmas Extravaganza, live at Calvary Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Friday, December 3rd. That's Wren Collective, live in Albuquerque on Friday, December 3rd. For more information, visit TransparentProductions.com.
KLYT thanks Allocate Ministries for partnering with the Light of New Mexico.
As the challenges of the pandemic continue, families in poverty are facing fears. They're afraid of hunger, of eviction, but they're not afraid of hard work. When even two jobs aren't enough, they find a way for their families. But when you give to the Salvation Army, you help their hopes outpace their fears. Just $25 a month helps families fend off homelessness. Keep hope marching on at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
From the KLYT broadcast studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C. 505-372-0086 or online at snmacherdental.com. Need to mention to everybody that this Friday night, 7 o'clock, Calvary Church on Osuna, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. KLYT, our station, is part of the sponsoring of Ren Collective. They're coming in concert 7 o'clock p.m. December 3rd. It's going to be a neat, fun evening of music.
I love them, by the way.
Yeah, they're fun.
They're a great band.
They're fun. There's actually a couple concerts. I'll tell you about another one that's happening same night, unfortunately. Fernando Ortega's going to be in concert as well. I love all of this music, and I wish I could go see all of it. And it's just a blessing, especially this time of year. COVID kind of limited any of our in-person music stuff, even our worship at church, and now I'm glad that's kind of changed.
Yeah, me too.
Good stuff. Jennifer, how should faith inform the way we eat?
This is the ultimate question, Jim. This is what I struggled with and what I really dove into when I started my own practice, because I was thinking to myself, okay, my faith is really important to me. Obviously, nutrition is important to me. That's what I do for a living, right? So how can I put these two things together? How do they go together? And how can I put them together in a meaningful way that would actually help people change? And so, you know, we've mentioned this earlier in the show, but I think that the Bible really does inform every area of our lives, including nutrition. And so we've talked about, you know, getting rid of the idea that the next diet is going to be the next thing that fixes us. We've talked about transforming our minds. And so on Instagram, I do a hashtag Transform Your Mind Thursday, where every Thursday I talk about a kind of an old idea. So out with the old, in with the new. How should we be thinking about some of these concepts that are in a biblical way and pleasing to God? So that's been really fun. I've sort of been listening to clients as I go through that. Kind of thinking about my own journey.
So if you go to Instagram and you type in at Nourished
NC.
NC.
Yes.
For nutrition counseling.
Yes.
Nourished NC. You can participate on Thursdays in this Instagram.
Yeah, you can.
Conversation. Yes. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I encourage people to share ideas and share their own struggles. That, you know, if you have a thought or an idea that you identify as maybe destructive or harmful, you know, let me help you change that. Let's talk about this more. I think, you know, going back to the guilt and shame part of this conversation, there's so much guilt and shame around food.
Yeah.
And part of that, part of getting rid of that and finding freedom is talking about it, right, with somebody and trying to understand what's actually going on. I think that's really important. So we're transforming our minds. And then next, we want to find the right motivation. So we've talked about that a little bit, but instead of just thinking about our health or thinking about, you know, weight loss or whatever numbers you're trying to, you know, quote unquote fix, we really want to think about what is our purpose here on earth, right? And it's to be used by God and to glorify God. And so we know that we can do that better when we take care of our bodies, right?
Jennifer, I know eating disorders affect men and women, but I think it's probably more common in women. Mm-hmm. And there are people that think they are too fat and they weigh 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is not a healthy perspective. And we want to encourage people to be able to break away from that, transform their mind,
right,
understand what God wants their body to be, and so on and so forth. And that's kind of a process. So I guess I can't help but say, you know, this isn't necessarily easy, but I know people that run 26-mile marathons, and those are not easy, but they have great joy, mm-hmm, and great enjoyment. So this process can be fun and joyful.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think that. In fact, that comes a little bit later on in the process of, or the journey to better health with, you know, what I do with clients. But I think the motivation is also foundational, right? Transforming the mind, finding the right motivation. And then thirdly, we need to find peace, and we need to find freedom with food and with our bodies. So, I had a client this morning. She's so lovely. And she said to me, I asked her what her goals were for the next week. And she said, you know, Jennifer, I was thinking about this week, and I really feel like I want to stop thinking about food all the time. And I just got so excited, because that is like the moment when you realize that you don't want to live like that. It's basically like you're a slave to your food choices, right? And so finding peace and finding freedom from that is really another, that's really the next step after finding the right motivation. And so I was so excited. I almost did a little happy dance when she mentioned that. I was like, oh, she gets it. This is so great. But yeah, I love that. I think peace is one of those things just with our culture. It's so in line with culture to be worried about what we're eating, to be worried about our weight, to be always trying to follow the next new thing. And so as Christians, even in nutrition, I think we're called to be countercultural, and we are called not to worry about all those things like the world does.
Jennifer, I had somebody come up to me, this had to be 2 weeks ago. And of course, they're believers. They know the word of God. They've read the word praying and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Fasting is the one I want you to focus on.
Mm.
So it's almost like all of a sudden they hear about a diet that's intermittent fasting. So because it uses the same word, it's probably right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I automatically made me nervous. I'm not saying it's bad, but it made me nervous.
Right. Well, and again, obviously the Bible uses the word fasting for many other reasons, right? So let's think back to what's the motivation behind this intermittent fasting. Why are people doing that?
I think it's because they want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, why does Jesus fast?
He wants us to be able to focus and pray,
yes,
without a distraction.
Right. So we've got two totally different motivations there, right? So again, it goes back to what's the motivation behind what we're doing.
Yeah. And it's hard for people to, we're just always constantly seeking that new thing or that new revelation. And it's really just and that's what you do as a professional. You counsel people, you give them insight into nutrition and healthy ways of eating and making their priorities and their motivations in line with what the Bible says. And I can just see how that's very encouraging. When we come back, you're going to give some examples of how we can change the way we think about food. And I know you have some other intentional eating principles that you can talk to us about. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant will be right back.
Celebrate Christmas at Nature Sings, Sheology's Winter Gala, Tuesday night, December 7th, 6 p.m. at Calvary Church on Osuna. Hear guest speaker, author, Bible teacher, recording artist, and co-host of TV's Life Today, Sheila Walsh, with an encouraging message.
COVID hit and everything changed. Weeks turned into months. I found myself spiraling, asking the Holy Spirit, how do I live in these days? And he began to speak to me about the hope that we have.
Enjoy festive fellowship, tea and a light supper, a special song from Sheila, and worship with battle drums. Nature Sings, Sheology's Winter Gala, Tuesday night, December 7th at Calvary Church on Osuna. Arrive as early as 3 to shop the lovely market with local artists and live music. Book signing with Sheila at 5. Doors open at 6. Dress in white as a display of unity, echoing heaven and nature's celebration of the birth of Christ. Ticket info at sheology.org.
Men, do you desire to study the deeper things of God? Cross Christian Fellowship College goes in-depth in apologetics, teaching, and doctrines. Study the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism, views of the rapture, eisegesis, and exegesis. This special mentorship-style college is low-cost and only one night a week. Get information online at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Saturday nights at 8 and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. The new show, Tracks of Light.
Get your eyes, see another world.
We trace back where we got on track with the light of Christ. Tracks of Light, locally sponsored by theplaceilike.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Speaking now about another special event, particularly to husbands that need a little culture, and moms and daughters will really like this. There is an annual event. We missed it because of COVID the last couple years, but it's called Christmas Joy. It's presented by Magnify Dance Ensemble. In fact, I'm going to have Wendy Miner on the show next week to talk about it. It's December 11th and 12th. Magnify is Dance Ensemble is a nonprofit organization, but they do a story about the birth of Christ in dance form, in ballet form. It is spectacularly beautiful. Even though they have elementary, middle school, and high school dancers, the professionalism, the perfection, the beauty, I just have to tell you, it was so amazing when my daughters were dancing in it. I loved it so much. That's December 11th and 12th. Two shows on the 11th at 2 and one again at 6:30 p.m. On Sunday, just one. It's going to be held at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. Tickets are available now. Call the National Hispanic Cultural Center box office to get those tickets. It is something that your family will never forget. It's really, really beautiful. So, Jennifer, we live in a great community. We live in a place not only that has good food.
Oh, yeah.
And spicy food. And some of those spices are not bad for
you. They're really
health-wise.
Good for you, actually. You know, that capsaicin is very anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. So how can something hot be anti-inflammatory?
Good question, but it is.
It is. I love
you just
that.
Have to trust me, Jim.
Okay. We're not going to do a chemical breakdown right now. I just love that. Hey, talk to us a little bit about some examples of how we can change the way we think about food. That part of this transforming your mind.
Yeah. So, again, this is something that I've been doing on Thursdays, most Thursdays. I've probably missed a few here and there, but we call it Transforming Our Mind Thursdays. And I think everybody could use a little bit of this. So, yeah, just a couple examples of some things that, you know, as I'm listening to people talk to me about their struggles with food or their body image or whatever, you know, I'm always thinking of, okay, how can we change this conversation, right? To be encouraging and to find that peace and freedom that we were talking about earlier. So one of the things I hear people say is, well, I was really good today. So they put a moral value on their decisions with food for the day. Okay. And sometimes then that comment will turn into, well, I was good today, so I can eat, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And so we sort of justify eating some of these things that we think are quote unquote not so good for us, right? So instead of saying I was good today, we can say this would be the transformation. I know that my food choices don't define my worth.
Mm.
What we do when we say I was good today is we actually end up putting value on ourselves because of our decisions. And we know that's just not a biblical concept. Number two is one of my favorites. So instead of saying food will make me fat, right? How many times have you heard that?
A lot.
A lot. Or they'll say something is, you know, quote unquote, fattening, right? So instead of saying that, instead of looking at food.
I hear this in my own mind.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I even catch myself doing this sometimes. So instead of saying this, we say food is a gift from God. Right? Because it is, right? We see that all over scripture. Another example would be, I hear people say this all the time. Dieting is hard, right? And so we're transforming our minds. And so instead we say, taking care of my body well gives me joy.
Okay, now, taking care of my body well, this is where, again, you've been gracious, you've been encouraging, but there is some discipline.
There is.
That's required.
Yes. And so, you know, earlier before the break, we were kind of going through the process of changing the way we think about it. So we start with some, you know, foundational concepts of transformation, transforming our minds. We talk about motivation. We find peace. And the next one actually is self-control. So some of these concepts you can see are based on Galatians 5, 22 to 23, which
fruits of the Spirit.
Are the fruits of the Spirit, right? And so self-control is my favorite because this is another thing we say that's really incorrect. We say that we don't have any willpower or we don't have any self-control. And according to the Bible, that's completely false. As Christians, we all have the fruits of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit, right? And we know that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. So we all have self-control, right? And the beauty of it is as we grow in our faith, we automatically grow in the fruits of the Spirit. So I think discipline is actually something that is pleasing to the Lord as well. So again, it's all about balance, right? We don't want to be apathetic about what we're doing and our food choices, but we also don't want to go the other extreme and become, you know, obsessed with it or prideful or any of these kinds of things. We want to find that happy balance where we see the Lord pleased with what we're doing.
Here's one I've done. I haven't done this for a few years, but I love cake.
Me too.
Especially yellow cake with chocolate frosting.
Mm, yeah.
So I've literally done this, and I sound dumb even saying it, but I'm not insulting anybody. I'm saying this is what I've done. I have purposely not eaten breakfast or lunch because I knew I was going to go to have birthday cake right after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured I'd leave room for it. That's mm-hmm. not logical.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make any sense. But that's what I've done.
I think you're not alone there, probably.
And that's not healthy, is it?
No. No, definitely not. What we're doing is we're saying no to the healthy foods so that we can fill our bodies with more of these unhealthy foods, right? And so unhealthy foods are not bad. Why should we have to create room or limit ourselves for something else so that we can have cake every once in a while, right?
Yeah. Here's the other thing. It seems logical now in retrospect that if you eat healthy, I probably wouldn't eat this gargantuan piece of cake.
Right.
Because I would feel more full, have a reasonable size piece of cake mm-hmm. and enjoy it more.
Exactly. Well, and that goes back to what you were asking about kind of towards the beginning with the mindful eating or the mindless eating is the extreme of it, right? Where we just eat it without really thinking about it. One of the things that I actually ask a lot of my clients to do is pick a food that they're afraid to eat. And a lot of times that's a dessert of some sort. And most of the time people are afraid of it because they haven't been able to control the amount that they've eaten in the past. And so I tell them to, you know, serve themselves a reasonable sized piece, whatever that means to them. There are no rules about it. But the rule is they have to sit down at the table. They have to make it last 10 minutes. And they have to really think about what they're eating and they have to really enjoy it. And like 95% of the time, people will come back after that exercise and they'll say, you know what? I was more than satisfied with what I had. I didn't even eat the whole piece that I served myself or whatever. And so it's this realization that if we can just educate ourselves on a couple of these simple truths about food and nutrition, we could actually prevent some of these harmful behaviors that we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about so many examples of this. I have 5 children. 2 of them eat at a comfortable pace.
Yes.
And they're always looking at dad like, Dad, are you already done? Did you chew? And the truth is, I don't chew a lot, and that's one of the reasons that creates problems, especially when you get older.
It does.
So again, your intentional eating is to stretch it out, pay attention, be intentional in what you're doing. You're not limiting what you're eating. You're limiting how you eat it.
Right, exactly. And also, the other piece that I really encourage people to do is really pause before you start eating. And we've lost the wonder of the prayer before the meal because food is so abundant, right? So I encourage all my clients, before you actually eat anything, say a prayer. Really think about your prayer. Really thank God for the food that you have. Don't think about food as an enemy, but really thanking God. And that in and of itself helps to change perspective in some really big ways.
Hey, I got to do something really quick, but I have one more question for you before we go. I want to give away two tickets to Ren Collective tomorrow night, Calvary Church, 7 o'clock p.m. If you are the first caller to 338-5790, I have two free tickets to Ren Collective for you. So Steve will answer the phone. He'll get your name, phone number, and everything, and we will leave those two tickets up at the front desk at Calvary Church. Call us at 338-5790 while we're finishing up our conversation with Jennifer. Jennifer, what do you have planned for 2022?
Ooh, I'm so excited. So you mentioned my newsletter earlier, and I'm so excited about what we're doing. We are going to do a series. I'm not sure how long it's going to last yet. I'm thinking through February, so 2 months, where we are going to ditch diets forever. And we're going to talk about all the things that that includes. And we're going to talk about a lot of what we've talked about today on the radio. And so hopefully if you're listening and any of this has resonated with you, that's something fun that you'll want to join me for.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You also mentioned that you're developing some other partnerships. You have a fitness instructor that you might be doing a project with.
Yes, my friend Gina Cordova, who I am so excited about. She owns a company called Rise Abide Wellness, and we are going to partner to do some wellness workshops in person in Albuquerque. Our first one is going to be the last Saturday in January. It's going to be January 29th, and all of the information will be available on my website.
And that is nourishednutritioncounseling.com.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that workshop. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to foster some good relationships, and we'll get a good workout, and we'll learn some things. So
if my kids are listening now, they're probably going to be mad at this statement, but I've been doing turkeys for Thanksgiving and for Christmas.
Ooh, why not?
I'm kind of thinking about doing a prime rib.
Mm.
Have you ever done one of those?
Yes. I can't remember. I think it was last year or the year before we did a prime rib, and it was delicious.
Got to mention, Linda Dykes called in, and she won two free tickets to the Ren Collective concert. By the way, listen tomorrow, because I'm going to give away two sets of tickets tomorrow, and the concert's tomorrow night.
Can I call in, Jim?
You can call in. You can. And you got to be the first caller, though, when I announce it.
I'll be ready.
That sounds good. Jennifer, when we talk, as I was talking about changing up the menu, are there, I don't know, I don't want to say psychological things that does. If you've always done the same thing, isn't it kind of fun to change it up?
I think so. I think some people prefer the tradition, but I like to change things up sometimes.
Have you tried turkeys different ways? Have you tried frying them?
We did a fried turkey a little while ago. Yes, that was quite a long time ago. But
was it a lot different? Or
honestly, I don't remember. So yeah. It must not have been.
Yeah.
It must not have been life-changing.
Amen. Jennifer Bryant, nourishnutritioncounseling.com. Go to her helpful tools. A lot of fun things. If you do, ask for her newsletter. She sends that out weekly, and it's really a lot of fun. Jennifer, thanks for joining us, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT,
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.